thank everyone for being here. I know everybody's, if you're anything like me, my mind is going just all over the place, and I think it's spring fever. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm having a hard time really focusing on anything. So we're just glad y'all are here. You made it. You got your children up, and thank you for being here. I feel like that's kind of loud. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you so much for this morning. And Father, I ask personally, and I ask for all of us here, that we might quiet our minds, that we might quiet our hearts, Father, to hear your word, to hear what you have to teach us this morning, Father, and to just come to know you a little more deeply, Father. So be with us this morning and help us to honor and glorify you as we are here together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we are just getting toward wrapping up our book of Exodus. I'm going to talk this morning and share a little bit about the Ten Commandments. I went ahead and did next week's lesson two, and I'll tell you it's sort of short. That's exciting because there's been some long lessons. But I'm going to go ahead and do an overview of the Ten Commandments today. And I want to go ahead and just give you a little bit of an announcement of what we're going to do next week. Next week, we're going to come and try our best to get here right at 10, you know, get here a little early and get your children settled. And at 10 o'clock, we're going to go straight to our groups. So you'll go first to your groups. We will take a little bit of time, normal group time, to go over our lesson. And then we will come in here, and the leaders are going to have a little brunch-type snack for you all. We're going to have some fun food, and we'll have a little bit of fellowship time. And then I have the pleasure of giving the overview. Next week it will be just brief overview of what we've covered this year, and then we will go have some sharing time. And we would love for you all to pray about sharing something that perhaps the Lord has taught you this year, or been working on your heart, or is teaching you, or is convicting you of, or whatever it might be, but just sharing to glorify Him and to build up the body together. So that's what we're going to do. If you go ahead and bring a lunch for your child, we're going to be a little bit extended time. We're going to go till about 12. So they can go ahead and have lunch. We won't go as long as our normal luncheon time, but the leaders know that they'll be here a little longer, and so go ahead and bring a lunch for your child. Okay? All right. We have led up, and I'm just going to start this morning with Moses coming down from the mountain with all of the people, if you remember, just standing in awe of God's presence and fear, truly fear, of approaching Him, as well as an awe and respect for Him. And Moses comes down from the mountain, and you may remember, they say, I didn't get to hear what Nancy said last week, and I'm sure y'all talked about this a little bit, but they were like, you know, Moses, you talk to Him. You talk to God. We're afraid. We're afraid He will just smite us or kill us, or you be our spokesman. And so Moses continues to take that role, and he comes down from the mountain and he delivers the Ten Commandments to them. We had the pleasure of catching on TV last week the Ten Commandments, the old version, and my kids had never seen it, and it was just, you know, so kind of cheesy, really. I mean, it was just, you know, it doesn't have the visual effects that our movies today have, you know, when the blood turns to water, when the water's turned to blood, you know, it's just, I don't know, you can tell they put dye in it or something. It's just, you know, totally unbelievable. But nevertheless, it's a good movie. And I saw a funny cartoon in the last month or so, and that was a picture of Moses coming down from the mountain, and he's standing there giving the Ten Commandments, and one of the guys kind of steps up from the crowd and he says, Moses, we kind of had a more casual lifestyle in mind. And so he was not, you know, the people were not really necessarily embracing this whole, you know, okay, we've got these rules and regulations in mind. So as we start today, I want right off the bat to make it clear, and I really have just come to understand this in recent years. Just, I've been a Christian a long time, and I just, in recent years, have come to understand that the Ten Commandments were not at all what I thought they were. And really, I grew up in church. I went to church my whole life. We were very active in the church that we went to. My parents taught Sunday school and whatnot. And I thought the Ten Commandments were just rules that I should follow, you know, to be a good person and be a good girl and please God. And I will say today that most Americans, if you were to ask them, and maybe some here in this room, and until recently I didn't understand this, but if you were to ask someone, if you were to die tonight, and do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? You know, if you just were to ask that straightforward question, if you were to die tonight, something were to happen to you and you were to go to heaven, do you know for sure you would go to heaven and spend eternity with God? And I think most people would say, I think so. I hope so. You know, I hope so. And then if you ask the follow-on question, and some of you have heard this, but, okay, well, if you were to stand before God and He were to say, why should I let you into heaven? Why should I allow you to spend eternity with me? Most people, and I was one of those, would say, well, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to do my best. I've tried to follow the Ten Commandments. You know, I've tried to follow the Ten Commandments, and I've done pretty good. You know, I haven't messed up a lot of them, I don't think. But I think I've kept them all, as a matter of fact. And that is a very common answer that you would get to that question. Well, we're going to talk about in a little while, why, in just a moment actually, why that is not the right way we should look at the Ten Commandments. But I've shared with you all a little bit about some of my friends I've made through Parish Episcopal, where my children go to school. But I have a new friend that I've gotten to know, and it took me so long to get her name. I have a hard time with these names, and her name is Sony. And so I think of Sony, like the company, you know, and so every time I see her, I think of a, you know, tape recorder or some sort of boombox or something. And so I can now remember her name, Sony. But Sony and I visit a lot out by the carpool lines. And Sony and I recently got to talk about our faith, and Sony is Muslim, and I've shared a few varieties of conversations, but I had a conversation with her just last week, the first time I'd gotten to talk with her about spiritual things. And the bottom line is, she explained to me that being a Muslim was just like being a Christian, and that it was all about being a good person and trying to please God and just doing your very best to live a good life and an honest life and not kill anyone and, you know, just all the things you would think that the Ten Commandments talk about so that we can please God. And on our trip back from Colorado over spring break, we played this little trivia game, and I learned that in the Muslim faith, there are 7 levels of heaven, and Jesus apparently rules over one of them in their belief system, and Abraham over one, and you go to these levels of heaven depending on how good you've been. But we understand that the Ten Commandments are not about teaching us to be good people, about pleasing God so that we can earn His favor to heaven. No, that the Ten Commandments are ultimately to point us toward Jesus. To say, Lord, I try, but I cannot do this. I cannot keep this perfectly. And for Him to say, I know that. I know that, and that's why I sent Jesus. Because Jesus was able not only to die on the cross for us and be resurrected, but He also was able to live a perfect life and keep the Ten Commandments. He was able to live this life on this earth in human form and never sin and perfectly keep God's law. And then to die on the cross and take our place so that if we believe and have faith in Him, that we are justified or made right before God because of the life that Jesus led. So we must start off by understanding the Ten Commandments is not a way for us to get to heaven. It is not what God intended. But so why did He give the Ten Commandments then? And I want to look at 3 little analogies of a way to look at the Ten Commandments. And the first, and I got these from somebody else, so I'm plagiarizing, I guess you would say. It's our Skip Ryan, who was our pastor at this church in time past. But the first I want to think about is the law of Jesus, or of God, the Ten Commandments, is like a fence. Now, picture a fence. When you go out in the country, I don't know about y'all, sometimes you see these long white fences around farms particularly, and they keep the cattle in, and they form a protection or a barrier. And even, how many of you in here have a fence around your yard? Okay, almost all of us in these days have a fence around our yard. They're a restraint And God actually gave the Ten Commandments, and this was interesting from what I studied on this, to keep evil from not running so rampant in this world that we literally would be destroyed. Okay? The Ten Commandments are what most of our governments are formed upon. Most civilizations in the world base their government somewhere in the past on the Ten Commandments. You shouldn't murder. You shouldn't steal. You know, all of the basic laws so that there is a fence of protection around our lives so that evil will not run so rampant that we literally would be destroyed. If we lived in a society where it was okay to murder and there was no laws against that, I mean, imagine. It's already bad as it is, but imagine if that was not a law to be kept. And I was just really angry at you right now because you got in my parking place, and so I just, you know, didn't have any laws against hurting someone. So the first thing is to be a fence. I recently shared with y'all that I got a ticket. I hate to admit, but I ran through a yellow light because I was running late, and I just did, and the police, as I went through it, I looked right, and the policeman saw me. Well, I had to go pay my ticket in this last week, and I went to the courthouse, and it was not near here, I was out running an errand, and I went into the courthouse, and I had a certain time that I had to see the judge, and I walked up, and there was a line. You had to get in this line to get this paper to go here, to get this paper to go see the judge, and it was very frustrating, but I walked up, but I was kind of fearful of the whole process, okay? Well, there was a lady that walked in at the same time I did, and she was like, I can't stand in this line. I need to go to the front of the line because I've been here 3 times and every time I've been late and they charge me more and more and more and y'all need to move because I've got to go to the front of the line. And there were all these people in line that started looking at her and they were getting angry and they were talking to her in Spanish and telling her, you know, and I was just standing there and I thought a fist fight was about to break out. Well, she and I had walked in at the same time and she looked more like me. The rest of the people were more minority, but she looked just a lot like me. And people were like, did you come in here with her? And I was like, no, I'm just here trying to follow the rules. But anyway, I was just scared I was going to, you know, be in harm's way. But we all finally got our way before the judge, and we all had to go at 3 o'clock. We all had 3 o'clock time. And this lady was still ranting. Well, then, one by one, we went before the judge, and I mean, these people just told the judge what's what. And they were angry, and they were mad, and they didn't do it, and it's not their fault. And I was just scared to death. I just wanted to say, I did it. I ran through the yellow light. Here's my money. You know, and I'm sorry. But they totally, I saw that our world has come to have a disrespect for law. And they weren't afraid of him, and they wanted to tell him why they had a right to break the law. And God's law was given as a restraint or a fence so that we should respect it and honor it. So the Ten Commandments were given for us to honor and respect God's law. The second way that I want to look at the law is like a path. It's a guide for our lives. God knew that we needed to understand His ways. We needed to understand who He was and how we could have lives that were joyful and peaceful and happy and fulfilled. And you may recall that the law, you can look at it, the Ten Commandments, and I think our chapter went over this. The first 4 Ten Commandments have to do with our relationship with God. And the last 6 have to do with our relationships with each other. And God knew that we needed to understand what it meant to be in relationship with Him. And He gave us these 4 laws so that we might understand. And I wish I have taught a Bible study before on taking each one of these laws 10 weeks. And it would just be phenomenal to get to do that. But we don't have the time today to do that. But this law is like a path. And if you remember, Jesus summed up the law by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first 4 commandments summed up. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's the last 6 commandments summed up. So the law is to be a path for us to walk down. I had the pleasure of going to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert. Y'all know Stephen Curtis Chapman, singer, probably 10 years ago now. And it's like one of these things I'll never forget. And there was a gentleman there named Steve Saint, and he was telling the story of his father, Jim Elliot, or not his father, of his father, Nate Saint. Am I getting that right? Yeah, his father, Nate Saint, and the story of Jim Elliot and the men that, I've got the dates here, in 1956 were going as missionaries to Ecuador. And you may remember that, I won't tell the whole story, but they prepared, they prayed, they went to share Christ with the Aka Indians. And the Aka Indians were cannibal Indians. They were in a small village in Ecuador, very non-westernized, if you will, just a tribe of Indians. And they lived for hate and cannibalism, really. And at this concert, Steve Saint shared that he went back to live with the Aka Indians. He was raised there. Then he came, got married, and he went back to live there many, many years later. And as he lived there, going kind of all around, but his father was killed by the Aka Indians. Those six missionaries were killed when they went in, like within 2 days. But a whole generation later, he went back, and the whole tribe had come to know the Lord, and over the ministry of a long period of time. And he now lives there, the son of the man his father had been murdered. And he had with him on stage one of the Aka Indians. And it was a surprise visit at the concert. And the man came out, and he said, "This is my grandfather." He called the Aka Indian man his grandfather. And he said, "Grandfather's going to share his testimony." And grandfather shared that he had been in Aka Indian language, and then Steve would translate. But he shared, his way of sharing his testimony was that he had been walking down a path, that he was living his life on a path, and that the path that he was walking on was all about hate and anger and killing and murder, and that he had never heard the Ten Commandments. But his life was all bent toward a path leading toward destruction. And that's what the entire tribe was living for. And that when he had learned about Jesus and God, that his path had been changed. And this is how he described it. His path had been changed down a different path that led to God and love. And he said, "We have become God followers." They don't call themselves Christians. They call themselves God followers. And I loved that his path had changed. Well, the Ten Commandments are laid out for us to be a path to live our lives, a path that leads us to God, that leads us to peace, that leads us to joy, that leads us to understanding God and to loving one another. Now, you remember the first commandment is about not putting anything else before the Lord. And then the last commandment that y'all be looking at next week is about not coveting. Well, Paul, and many of us will say, "I've never murdered anyone," you know, and I wish we could go into the time to understand how we have broken that. We don't have time today. "I've never stolen." But I think when we get to the first and the last, we can all say, "Yeah, I think I have put other things before God." And the last one on coveting, yikes. Yeah, I think I've done that. Now, I know y'all probably haven't, but I thought back to when I was a young mom, and I was thinking, I remember coveting some people's strollers. They had really cool strollers that I didn't have. I remember coveting people's husbands that seemed to get home at 5 o'clock and help fix dinner and help clean the house. And I remember coveting, you know, people that had nannies, you know, and they had nannies. And I didn't have a nanny. I had to do it myself. And all of these things, that these desires, they're desires that we have, that become coveting when we look at God and say, "God, why haven't you given me that?" When you, instead of saying, "God, I accept the life that you've given me and what you've given me, and I will live in contentment with where I am," instead of coveting those things. Now, I will tell you that my kids, when they were little, I have allergies. And even now, every time I go to a friend's house that has a dog, I mean, I sneeze and my eyes water, and it's just awful. And so my kids have never had a dog. Isn't that terrible? And I have two boys, and they still don't have a dog. And so when they were little, I just tried to give them little doggy stuffed animals. And they still, that my 15-year-old, don't tell anyone, but he sleeps with his stuffed animals still. And my 12-year-old, too. And but they loved stuffed animals, and so they came to sort of covet stuffed animals. And we would go to FAO Schwartz, the mall. They don't have that now. It's really sad. But there used to be an FAO Schwartz at North Park, and it was so cool. And we would go there, and we would go in, and they had these big, huge dog stuffed animals. And they were old enough where I could look around. I had to buy a gift, and I left them looking around, and you know, I knew they were safe. And so they were walking around. I think they were 2 and 4, but I felt safe where I could run over here. Well, when I came back, they had taken every stuffed animal off the shelf. I'm not kidding you. And I found them, their little eyes, they had made a pile of them on top of themselves. And I found their little eyes looking through the stuffed animals, and they were in heaven. Now, I was very frustrated because, you know, the people were not happy, but they were coveting dogs, and they had taken every dog. So it happens all across the board, our coveting. Children covet as well. I also, even now, I covet people's houses that seem more decorated than mine. I covet people's bodies that seem more firm than mine, and people's clothes that seem more designer than mine or something. I don't know. So the Lord has given this as a path for our lives. But the last thing that I want to look at, let me read a scripture, Romans 7, verses 7 and 8, where Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'Do not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire." So what he's saying is the law allowed me to see my sin. Because I knew the Lord said, "Do not covet," then I understood that I had a coveting heart. So the law had a purpose. The law has a purpose to show us, and that leads us into the next thing, that the law is like a mirror. A mirror. Can't say that word. My son Troy went on a four-day trip with his school last week. They went to a place called Camp Klassen in Oklahoma. And we spent a lot of time, I was going out of town, so we spent a lot of time packing and, you know, just getting his shirts and his shorts, and they had a list. And when I came home, he came home the same day. I got home Friday because my flight was delayed because I was on a 80s plane or whatever. And so anyway, it was kind of a nightmare. And I finally got home the day he got home. I was hoping to get home early, but I got home and I picked him up. And when I picked him up, oh my gosh, he was so dirty. He smelled. I mean, I cannot even believe this 12-year-old could smell so bad. And look, he had smudges here. Oh, the dirt under his fingernails. I can't even begin to tell you. It was just like he had dug in dirt for days. And it was just nasty. And his clothes were nasty. And when we got home, I said, "Troy, why are you so dirty?" I mean, I said, "Did you..." And he had on the same clothes I had sent him off with, some of us. He never changed clothes. He slept in them. He was in them for 4 days. And it was just gross. And he never took a shower. And so I took him into the bathroom. And I said, "Troy, look at yourself." And he stood before the mirror. And he was just like, you know, he didn't really care. Oh, you know. So anyway, but it made him realize, and it made me realize, that he needed a shower desperately. Desperately. The law is like a mirror where we look and we say, "Lord, I can't do it. I don't want to covet, but I find myself coveting. Father, I want you to be my one and only. I don't want to put anything before you, but I find myself doing it daily." The law is like a mirror to our hearts where we look at it and we say, "Lord, I see my filth. What do I do about that?" And he says, "That's why I sent Jesus. I want the law to make you run to him. I want it to make you run to him the first time that you realize the dirt in your life. And I want it to make you run to him the 57th time and the 6,000th time. I want it to make you run to Jesus. Because he's the one that can cleanse us and wipe us clean." Romans 7:7 says, "If it had not been for the law, I should not have known sin." The law helps us to see that we are sinful. We must remember the law is not a way to obtain God's favor. We can't say, I'm just going to keep it perfectly. But the only thing that the law can really do is it can provide a fence that will protect us from abject evil in this world. It will provide a path, even as Christians, for us to say, Lord, I want to live in your ways. I want to walk toward you. I want to honor you with my life by loving you and loving others. But ultimately, the law is for us to say, but I can't do it. I need your help. I need you, Father, to wash me clean so that I, in your strength, in your power, by your Spirit, I might try to keep these laws and to honor you with my lives. So I end with some scriptures, Romans 7, 4 through 6. Romans 7 and 8 addresses this so beautifully. It says, So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised to the dead from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So the law was to point us to Jesus, who died on the cross, so that we might bear fruit for God through his Holy Spirit. And then Romans 8, 1 through 3 says, therefore, this is the great news. We've really been talking this whole semester about being set free. Being set free. And the law is there to set us free. And Romans 8 says, there is now no condemnation. We're not condemned by the law. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So what do we do with this? We just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We fall at the foot of the cross. We say, thank you for sending the Ten Commandments. Thank you for giving it to the Israelites. Thank you for giving it to me. And thank you for giving me Jesus to wash me clean. So let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the Ten Commandments, Father. Thank you that they protect us from evil in this world. Thank you that they give us a path that we might follow you, that we might be God followers. Father, thank you that they cleanse us. They send us to you so that you might cleanse us from all unrighteousness through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that they set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.